From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Nicole Ogrisco with the news on this day in Maine, Tuesday, November 18th, 2025. Central Maine Power's controversial power distribution rate plan met an early end today as Maine utility regulators dismissed the case. It's the first time on record that the Maine Public Utilities Commission has rejected such a proposal entirely, and the decision reflects public opinion, which has been against the $1.5 billion plan since it was released this summer. Peter McGuire has more.
CMP says it needs steep yearly electric rate increases to upgrade its system, hire new employees, and cut down on expensive storm recovery. It would eventually raise electric costs for an average home by about $35 a month. Commissioners say the proposal is too far-reaching, expensive, and unpredictable. Phil Bartlett is the commission chair.
I think we all recognize that we really are at sort of an inflection point here in Maine, and this rate case is sort of hitting at that time.
Bartlett says regulators are trying to grapple with affordability concerns, plan for future power demands, and create better performance incentives.
I think we all seem to think that this proposal just misses the mark in terms of meeting the moment that we're at.
Last month, the Maine Department of Energy Resources filed a motion to dismiss the case. It says CMP's proposed system upgrade has to wait until it files a long-term electric grid plan. At the same time, the Office of Public Advocate claimed the multi-year rate plan would not encourage CMP to control costs, and it should be thrown out. Commissioners agreed with both agencies.
What we're saying in substance is essentially, this isn't something we could live with.
Commissioner Patrick Scully says regulators should start again and provide better guidance to CMP. But Scully says affordability remains a major concern as Mainers struggle to pay bills now.
As much as we would all like to rebuild the system promptly to greatly increase reliability and resilience, our people simply can't afford to do so at the pace proposed here.
Opponents of CMP's plan are cheering the commission's decision. Public advocate Heather Sanborn says there was an unprecedented outpouring of public hostility to the plan.
There were over 800 public comments filed into the docket, which is unheard of, and just dozens of folks turned out in Freeport and in Hollowell for the public rate hearings, and I really do think that that made a difference.
In a statement, Governor Janet Mills says the decision aligns with a recent state law requiring electric utilities to file regular five-year plans to make the grid more reliable and affordable. Mills says the commission was, quote, right to dismiss this outrageous request from CMP. But Seth Barry, spokesperson for the Fight the Hike Coalition, says another rate proposal is likely after CMP files its grid plan early next year.
All of us need to be ready for that and need to be prepared to raise our voice again to help our regulators to make a decision that does keep customers firmly in mind.
In the meantime, commissioners will open a proceeding to provide guidance on multi-year rate plans. And CMP is free to file a new rate case or a temporary rate increase. In a statement, the company says it is committed to balancing costs with system reliability. But delaying critical investment will ultimately cost Mainers more in the long run. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Peter McGuire.
The Maine Center for Disease Control is warning parents and caregivers not to give babies formula linked to a multi-state outbreak of infant botulism. The agency is currently investigating one suspected case in Maine. Patty White reports.
The agency says consumers should avoid ByHeart Whole Nutrition Infant Formula and should monitor babies for symptoms of botulism. Those include constipation, difficulty feeding, a weak or altered cry, and muscle weakness, which can progress to paralysis. Public health officials say seeking medical help early is critical, as botulism can be fatal. Symptoms can appear up to 30 days after ingestion. Experts also advise to wash items and surfaces that may have touched the formula using hot soapy water or a dishwasher. ByHeart is voluntarily recalling the formula. The Maine CDC says it received a report of a suspected case of infant botulism on Monday, and the baby remains hospitalized. There are more than 20 other confirmed or suspected cases across the U.S. linked to the outbreak. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
Northern Light Health and Harvard Pilgrim Health say they are offering an insurance plan on the online marketplace that aims to expand access to care at a lower cost. Kate Gutierrez of Harvard Pilgrim says Northern Light Health is now designated as a preferred provider on their Maine's Choice Plus plans. That means all Northern Light providers will be available at a lower cost tier for consumers who choose those plans.
Previously, Northern Light Health was in a higher cost sharing tier in our products and also not available in some of the northern, more rural areas in the state of Maine.
Scuteris couldn't provide specific estimates of cost savings. Harvard Pilgrim has offered Maine's Choice Plus plans since 2021. Houlton Regional Hospital nurses were on the picket line this morning to protest what they say are unsafe staffing levels that are compromising patient care. The nurses are part of the Maine State Nurses Association and have been without a new contract for nearly a year. Hospital management says it knows nurses are underpaid and is working to increase wages. Tennille Nason, a Houlton ER nurse, says a good contract goes beyond wages.
We want to be able to recruit and retain these nurses to stay. If it was just about money, I would have left a long time ago. It's not. I love my community, and my work family is like my second family.
Nason says she's also concerned about safe staffing levels. The nurses go back to the bargaining table December 1st. Nearly half of Maine's registered voters participated in this year's November election. As Kevin Miller reports, the statewide ballot questions drew a much higher turnout than was seen in the past two off-year elections.
According to the Secretary of State's office, just over 47% of registered voters cast their ballots on November 4th or in the weeks leading up to Election Day. And while that's much lower than the 70% or more seen in presidential years, it's significantly higher than turnout for the referendum-only elections held 2 years ago and in 2021. Maine consistently has among the highest voter participation rates in the country. 2 weeks ago, 64% of voters rejected the voter ID and absentee balloting changes proposed in Question 1. But 63% of voters supported Question 2, which creates a so-called red flag gun law for Maine. Governor Janet Mills certified the election results on Tuesday. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Kevin Miller.
And Mills says she'll include money in an upcoming budget proposal to implement Maine's new red flag gun law. Mills had opposed Question 2 on this month's ballot because she predicted it would undermine the existing yellow flag law. Police have used that law more than 1,000 times to obtain court orders, forcing potentially dangerous individuals to temporarily surrender their guns. But Question 2 now allows family members to bring their concerns directly to a judge rather than involving police. Mills said today that her administration will work with law enforcement and the courts to implement the red flag law alongside existing law. Nearly 200 countries have gathered in Brazil for the COP30 climate conference. The Trump administration declined to send an official delegation, but there are representatives from states, including a delegation from Maine. Molly Ann King reports.
Third-year Maine law student Adam Fortier-Brown says how similar the challenges are that communities around the globe are facing.
In Maine, we talk about warming waters and like changes to our fisheries and increasingly severe storms hitting our coasts, droughts that have been persistent in our state. And I've heard almost the exact same story this week from countries all over the world.
Brown says hope has been a major theme of the conference, despite the rate of global warming and the lack of an official U.S. presence. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Molly N. King.
After years of declining test scores, the Maine Department of Education last month announced what it's called a back-to-basics teaching approach for math and reading. But the initiative isn't about the three R's. State officials say it's a new approach aimed at getting kids invested in their own education. Maddie Smith visited Brewer High School and has this report.
If you guys can group up in groups of three or four, you can turn your chairs around. And we're going to do the Candy Crush Data Challenge.
In Sean Donovan's career math class, the kids are doing one of Donovan's so-called funtivities. They are finding the measures of central tendency, the mean, median, and mode of colored candies in packets of Skittles.
Does that mean I can just eat them now?
Yeah.
You can eat them once you get the data.
Donovan describes career math as a tour through all of the common high school math disciplines, as they might be applied in a future job.
We do a little bit of everything. We do a little bit of Algebra 1, a little bit of geometry, a little bit of statistics, and we kind of go through all of those basics, and I try to show the real-world relevance for each of those subjects.
My favorite skill and flavor is probably got to be green. I don't know if it actually has a flavor, I just know the color.
Senior Andre Lutz says he wants to study criminal justice, and for the first project of the year was asked to explain how math relates to that career.
So I just did based off of like the crime rates and stuff like that. So say Illinois, right now their crime rate is roughly 42.3, compared to say in Maine it's roughly 14.3.
Donovan says he expects students to calculate their answers to problems using formulas in digital spreadsheets.
Digital skills are very important for most careers now, so that's kind of another piece that's being folded into the class. And it can be hard sometimes. Some of the kids, as we saw, are way more adept than others.
Many of the practices being modeled in Donovan's classroom are in line with the state's new Back to Basics initiative, which comes in response to declining test scores since the pandemic. According to the National Assessment of Educational Progress, Maine was 4 points below the national average in math and reading in 2024.
I don't want to say that low test scores are the new normal, because that feels like we're accepting something that I don't think we are.
Beth Lambert is the Chief Teaching and Learning Officer at the Maine Department of Education.
But I do think there's a new normal in education. There's a new expectation.
That new expectation, she says, is to make math matter to kids by connecting it to their daily lives.
That's what you're going to see change, is you're going to see that shift in our classrooms where students are saying, teach me this. I want to know. Give me these skills.
And one of the most important skills is solving problems without just Googling the answer.
Quite frankly, AI is going to take over a lot of that too, similarly to like the calculator did, right? But, you know, we still need to have those critical thinking skills.
Renita Ward-Downer oversees curriculum and professional development for the Brewer School Department and helped craft the math plan for the Back to Basics initiative.
Keep doing the same thing and expecting different results is insanity. That is, you know, classic education here. And I think our students have changed too. And so we've got to think about how we can meet their needs and think about how we can build that math is important, math is relevant.
Another piece to the initiative is a more concerted effort to involve parents in their children's education well before high school. Julie Vinson, who coaches elementary-age kids struggling in math, says parents can have a major influence.
The parents know their child best, and they can offer experiences that we can't offer, like cooking together, counting the chocolate chips into the cookie batter, all whatever it is, you know, we've got to provide some real-life application.
State officials say it will take some time to introduce these strategies to schools and to train teachers. And the proposed changes are not mandatory. It's up to the districts to decide if and when they want to incorporate them. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Maddie Smith.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Coming up on Maine Calling at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, popular baby names in Maine. I'm Nicole Ogrisco. Thanks for listening.